3, 2, 1. Oh, there we go. And we are recording. All right. What's up, Internet? Welcome to the High Life Show. We have a very special episode for you all today. Today is Sunday, December 6th. And we have joining us today the Marx Band with one of the members, Dev. Welcome, sir.
Round of applause.
Cheers.
Thank you. Salud. We'll have a real round of applause in post.
Yeah, we'll pipe in some applause.
just get the full crowd cheering.
So we're just going to get into it. We are eager to find out a bit more about yourself and the band. We played your music on one of the previous episodes. I think you and Love Bass made a connection over Instagram. So want to kind of find out how that whole connection.
Don't you just love the internet? Don't you just love the internet? You just connect with people on the other side of the planet instantaneously. It just brings us all together, even in a pandemic. It's just beautiful. I'm sorry. Amazing. I digress. Go ahead, Musa.
So yeah, welcome, Dev and Mr. Love and Bass. How about you start us off with our first question?
How about we start with how did you guys connect? What did you guys connect on? Was it just, you know, two folks in the musical industry just, you know, one liking the other's content and, you know, somebody sliding in one other's DM, so to speak? Did it kind of happen that way?
No, it's actually more like a personal ad. Somebody just put up an ad looking for a bass player on Gumtree. What's your equivalent of Gumtree? Craigslist? Or Craigslist?
Yeah,
that goes down on Craigslist. Yeah. So a really threadbare ad. We are a drummer and guitarist looking for a bass player. So then I joined and brought with me a second guitarist. Okay. That's pretty much how every band gets starts. It's really boring.
I think we so his handle on IG is Love and Bass. He's a producer, DJ, and I think, I don't know if you started following him or the Mark started following him. Is that how it went down?
I honestly can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember, to be honest.
Yeah, it was just
I was listening such to a blur. Music and like, I listen to like a lot of different genres. Not necessarily rock all the time, but something about the music that they make it's really good. So like, despite not listening to a lot of rock, I can tell that it's good music. I think that's something that happens with certain types of music anyway. So
absolutely. Why don't you tell us a little bit about you know, who the Marx are, like you started going into how you all connected, how many members are there, and then
well, there's four of us and we're basically just decided to, I think we're all sick of your general boring songs about unrequited love and just boring crap. So
it's not boring. Love is never boring.
There's just enough of it. There's enough of it. Out there. So we were like, let's do some tunes about politics and social issues, and then we're like, yeah, let's just keep going. Put some dirty riffs on it.
How long have you guys?
The band we are now, maybe 3 years, 4 years maybe, but longer than that, because a couple of the guys and me used to be in a separate band that were, let's say, like very pop punk.
Okay.
So quite different than we are now. They were very like Blink 182 style, having a good time. But
so what made you decide to switch the style over?
Just got bored. It's just yeah, there's too many bands, too many songs, all about the same stuff. It's just
gotta switch it up.
Yeah.
Give the people what they may not know they need.
Yeah, give the people what they don't want, but they're getting it anyway.
Say, hey, you know what? I need this. Random question for you, Deb. What beverage is that you're drinking? Seems rather tasty.
No, it's just some Fanta.
Okay.
Good stuff. This should have probably been an earlier question. Where are you guys located? Where are the marks?
We're Dundee in Scotland. When I first got that message about us, I assumed it was. I thought that maybe we'd been. You'd thought we'd lived in Dundee in Oregon.
No,
but
I think we might have.
Yeah. I honestly didn't know until they like. After I looked at it, I was like, oh, I thought they lived in Portland, honestly. Like, yeah. We have tons of rock bands here too. So, but I'm like,
yeah, because cool. I think there's maybe three or four places in America that are called Dundee as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when I got your message. I was like, oh, does he maybe think that we're just like Dundee, Oregon, about like what, an hour away from Portland?
Listen, but it's a, you know, that's like we were saying, like Steve was saying, it's a great thing about the internet. It just brings people together. And
most of our songs are that mid-Atlantic sort of voice anyway. They're not. We don't sing in the Scottish accent so much.
Right. You certainly don't. Yeah, we would have figured it out a lot sooner.
You know, not for nothing, but it seems like, you know, folks across the pond, so to speak, they have our accent better than we have our own. You know what I mean? Like whenever you watch the movie here, so I'm like, that sounds sonically way better than what I sound on a day-to-day basis.
I think it's because it's like you ever heard like a Swedish person speaking English?
Mm-hmm.
Like they speak English better than native English speakers because they've learned it from like nobody around them speaking slang or anything, so they speak really, really well, but like far too verbose. They shouldn't. It's like their God, what's his name? It's like the Russell Brand.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Russell Brand. Adele, Idris Elba does pretty good, like what he did like on The Wire and all of that. So I don't know.
Yeah, Ed Sheeran. Like
Yeah, Ed Sheeran is another one. So yeah. I don't know. Just
maybe British people.
So how'd you guys decide on the name?
Well, because of our sort of left-leaning politics, Karl Marx. But there's also where we're from, there's a sort of little trend of bands taking their names from places in our hometown. So there's a record shop that's been going for about 20 years. It recently closed. And it was called Groucho's. So the Marx came from our politics, and then also came from the fact that Groucho Marx was the name of a record store. So we sort of a wee homage to that.
That's what I was going to say, homage.
Yeah, because there's a few bands. I think the most successful one was probably The View, mid 2000s. I don't think they got anywhere in America though, because they got banned from entering for being caught with cocaine on a plane.
Some of the best music in the world. I don't subscribe to cocaine, but some of the best music in the world has been derived from cocaine usage. So, I'm sure for trying.
Rick James would definitely attest to that.
Right. He's an amazing guy. Wait, who was it who went down the Rick James rabbit hole?
That
recently?
Was me. I went down the Rick James just to refresh myself on the man's awesomeness. Yeah, the fact that he was not sentenced to life in prison is still one of America's greatest tragedies.
He did some time, but yeah, we digress, man. Go ahead. We're sorry.
what did I say? Oh yeah. No, yeah. So we basically just took the names from that, and the View, a pretty successful band from Dundee, are named after a pub that they used to practice in. Mm-hmm. There's a few others as well. There's like bands like Cinderins, which is named after like a sort of short area of Dundee.
Okay.
So we thought we'll continue with that, and as well as it just worked out well that record shop was there called Groucho's, and so we've taken the Mark's name, works out well.
Speaking of, you were just talking about your name. So what would you say are some of you guys is like musical influences or like favorite musicians at this point in time?
No, we don't even listen to the same music as a band.
I would think that would probably add to y'all's versatility during the creative sessions. Either that or a lot of fights.
Yeah,
how to compose a song so it could be very great or just very awful.
Yeah, it's not usually fights. It's more usually just me blowing up, raging at the band.
Somebody has to do it. That's I serve that purpose within our collective. I'm the one that screams and gets a little irate. So somebody has to do it. It's tough.
Yeah,
it definitely has to do it, right?
Yeah, I'm totally with you. It definitely needs to be done sometimes. You know, otherwise, they'll just sit around on their phones all day.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta stir shit up a bit sometimes, you know?
Yes.
But like, why I've been listening to Delvon Lamar organ trio, because it's like it's just instrumental, but it's like I know I'm not going to accidentally steal their songs. You know what I mean? When I'm writing a piece of music, I'm not going to accidentally steal some like jazz organ trio. Whereas when you're listening to other people's songs, you sort of hear it bleeding into your own music writing, and you're like, wait a minute,
yeah.
It's like I think comedians do it where they're like trying to avoid accidentally stealing someone's joke.
Oh yeah, that's like a cardinal sin.
Yeah.
In a comedy world.
And sometimes you just do it completely by accident as well. You're like.
Right, but at least then you can plead ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
Whether the public believes you or not, it's a different story.
Yeah. Although a lot of copyright. Lawsuits I've seen recently are actually some of the worst shit I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
There was one recently as well with someone huge as well. It was like someone accusing Lady Gaga of stealing something, and then you listen to both the tracks and you're like,
ooh,
nah.
Yeah.
But because it just boiled down though, you get that little like similarities in their melodies, but there's only 12 notes.
Right. Yeah.
There's only so much you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that runs a lot more rampant in a lot of other genres of music as opposed to like genres of music where you're actually composing the music yourself, right? Like I guess that comes into play where you're using a lot of sampling. I don't know shit about music. I'm gonna be honest. So but maybe that's just my inference.
It was I'm terrible at remembering band names or artist names and stuff, but there's was it Portugal the something? There's like a quite a big band. Portugal the Man. And one of their songs was, I think it was similar to like Stop Mr. Postman, but they actually they realized that before releasing it and paid for the rights to the song.
Mm. Wow.
But even then, when you listen to the song, it's still very, very separate.
Mm-hmm. So, how do you guys, is there like a specific method that you guys use when you're going about creating songs? Is there someone that writes all the music? Do you guys start with a melody? Like, how do you go about that?
I just write all the music away from the band and then take it to them, and they, like the guitarist adds, I can't write guitar parts as well as he can play them, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So the basic idea gets given, and then he turns it into like a guitar piece. Mm-hmm. And oh, sorry, I'm the bass player, by the way. Mm-hmm. Then the singer will write just lyrics over the top of the music, but the music, I'll write it, and then it's arranged, and then I'll take it to the band, teach them, and then they add their sort of instrumental abilities to it to make it more guitar-y.
Mm. It's a very collaborative process, it sounds like.
All right. So on a typical, like, just give us like a typical day, right? Like how many hours would you guys spend in a studio doing this sort of thing? Or does it vary?
It varies occasionally, but it depends what we're having to do. If we're in the process of recording songs, then we'll probably end up being in there. Our standard time a week, we probably be about 4 hours.
Okay.
And then at the weekend, well, if we're recording, it'll usually be done at the weekend or something. That's probably an extra, like, 7 hours, where we'd go in, start recording things, and then sit there and have to go through the entire process. But a normal week is probably about 4 hours. It's like 2 hours. 2 hours on a Monday and 2 hours on a Thursday.
It's not bad.
Yeah. When you've got stuff to do, it's good. But there's times when you've just got nothing. You're just basically in there. You have nothing. Nobody's got any ideas. Nobody's got nothing.
It's the worst.
Writing block.
Yeah. That's usually when that's usually when the frustration comes out a bit more.
I don't know what to say. I don't know what to play.
How long would you say the writing process takes? Like from the time you present the group with, I guess, let's say the first draft or, you know, the first layer of the music to then getting into the studio to try to record?
Hugely dependent. Like sometimes songs will come in as like half an hour. Like we'll all get in, everybody will get their parts completely in straight away. There's nobody's like confused about what they're having to play. Sometimes it just comes together. But the recording, like for the album we just released there, that recording process was done over ages. And then it was, obviously this year it was a complete mess. We couldn't get into the studio. And that kind of delayed it a bit more.
Gotcha.
Some of these recordings are like from a good while back, like that we just re-edited and, well, remastered for this, so they all sound a bit more similar. But
so why don't you speak a little bit more? So you guys released your titular album earlier this week or a few days ago.
Yeah, it's like, well, it felt really good to get that, to finally get this out after this whole year of waiting, because we only had like, we released a small EP earlier in the year that has some tracks from the album. That's just because we had only had like 3 tracks finished and one live recording.
Mm-hmm.
But we just had to do something because we couldn't get into a studio, we couldn't get into a practice room. I don't know how it is over there, but like here it was, everything's pretty much closed.
Yeah.
Like
not the case over here.
Yeah. They don't care. They don't care.
Wait.
Because that full first lockdown, it was must have been a good 6 months we couldn't get into anywhere. So I had to just try and release stuff that we had that was the most finished. There's a wee music video actually out for one of the songs on the album that's it's probably one of my favorite songs just because it's only 2 minutes long and it's but it's got a 30-second drum solo in it. So one entire fourth of the song is just a drum solo.
Right. Was that Speaking Secret?
No, DSO.
DSO.
Oh, that's one of my favorite songs.
Yeah. Somebody got airplay over here on a radio station, and I was really surprised that I sent them 3 songs and they picked that one, which I was pretty surprised at considering the 30-second drum solo.
Drums speak to people, man.
Yeah.
head on over to circuit86shoes.com and check out the latest collections.
We back to the High Life Show.
So you guys didn't really have any trouble, because I know, like, being a musician myself, like, when COVID kind of first hit, you kind of just are, like, sitting there, like, what do I do with myself? And it seems like you guys just kind of, like, kept rolling and just kind of put out more music and even put out an album. So did COVID didn't really have an effect on you, it seems like?
Like, it definitely stopped us making any hard copies of this album. Because originally we were going to get these pressed as vinyl. Mm-hmm. But because we can't play any gigs and can't sell anything after the gig, we're like, we don't think we're going to be able to shift like a bunch of vinyl. So, and I'd just be sitting here in my room with like a pile stuck behind me of just vinyl.
Oh, and I guess speaking of merch, Dev, I was looking at you guys' IG profile. You guys have a lovely T-shirt design of our current, to be soon, former president.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Superman.
I just want to say I love that. I was trying to see where I could buy it.
Or hook us up. We'll pay full price, but hook us up.
Yeah,
that pushed me into having to do like a Redbubble account as well, because we couldn't get to any gigs to sell in, and
right.
I'm just like, I'll just have to be a print on demand service.
Okay.
Which is a bit shitter, because it's like, kind of, it makes it more expensive, but it's like, you can sort of push it out a bit more.
Right. No, yeah. I felt like that's like a creative way to, even though, like you said, you can't go to gigs and things of that nature, at least you have some merch, and then that in a way works as a form of advertising. Like, oh, where'd you get that shirt from? Oh, I got it from the March. You should check them out. They have some good stuff that you should listen to. So I kind of felt like that was a creative way to sort of circumvent what's going on right now.
Yeah, like, we try to circulate the designs as well. I think just now it's just the logo and the album cover that's on the go.
Yeah.
But we just circulate them. Although that Trump T-shirt is probably going to be obsolete. Hopefully.
Never.
No. Nah. He's not gonna go quietly.
So what we have a segment on our show called Low Life of the Week, and he was the low life for, I want to say, 16 straight weeks, just out of sheer, like, he was doing nonsensical things every single week. And when I saw that shirt, I was like, you know, this should be like, you know, when he finally leaves, I think in January, I would love to wear that to the inauguration.
The virtual inauguration. Yeah. Have cash, like.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, to everyone's point, though, like, I don't think something like that will go out of style. Like, he's firmly established himself as a low life. Or life. I don't think the man is, what, 78 years old or whatever, however old he is. I don't think he's going to change anytime soon. So I think that shirt will never go out of style, just like polo T-shirts.
I could just change it to his to Donald Jr.
There you go.
Whoever is following in his footsteps.
Yeah. They're talking about the possibility of him running in 2024. Because, I mean, you know, I don't know if you're keeping up with our country's politics, but he had, like, easy like 70 million plus votes, so
yes, yeah.
There may be a resurgence of either himself or one of his offspring, to your point.
I thought they were looking at Ivanka running next.
Yeah they are, one of his offsprings, unfortunately. But I guess since you guys said that, you know, you're tired of the unrequited love and you're more so politics driven, is it world politics, regional politics? I guess, does any of the craziness going on here filter its way into your musical process?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like, we have a song that's on the go just now. It's not released. That's inspired by the Prince Andrew stuff, and then all of the Jeffrey Epstein. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys saw the interview with Prince Andrew where he's like claiming that it couldn't have been him because he couldn't sweat.
You couldn't work.
If you've not seen that interview, you should really watch it. It's a car crash. It's insane, and it's shot really intensely as well, with lots of close-ups on his sweaty face.
Yeah, well, he's been pretty much sidelined by the Crown since this whole thing, right? Like, they don't want him making public appearances, so I'm surprised he's allowed to do this interview.
I don't think there should be any royals, anyway. But, like...
No? No. Because they're just they're just figureheads, aren't they?
Yeah, it's the fact that they are. They don't have any... Well, I imagine they have a certain degree of sway with people, but they don't have any actual... Power. Plus, they make they take money from the taxpayer. Taxpayers.
Yeah, that was,
we're paying to keep them in those fucking castles, aren't we?
Yeah, but this is the thing. They're all super independently wealthy anyway. So we could just stop giving them money and they'll still be fine.
Yep. They have their investments. They have their gold bullions tucked away.
Yeah, they own lots of land, especially in Scotland. Lots of land is just owned by arseholes.
Including our president, right?
See, when he didn't realize that Scotland's got sort of slightly strange strange to you guys probably private property rules, so Trump didn't realize that people could just walk across his property in Scotland completely legally. He could own private property and just because of where it is, it's a sort of essentially nature reserve that people could just walk across it.
Yeah, there's no such thing as trespassing.
Yeah, there's...
you can walk, but you can't sit there or do something there. Like, say, business, just have a little cookout.
No, not yet. you can't jump on his golf course at 18th hole and start frying burgers.
You know what? You guys sit back. I'll take this one. I'll take this putt. I got this.
So it's like an easement. You have a rite of passage.
Yeah, it's like... A piece of land. Okay. Yeah, it's got a specific name. I can't remember what it is, but he got pretty mad at it. And there was a case as well where a pensioner had been caught short and had to piss on his golf course, and he was trying to this old woman, and he was trying to get the police to prosecute for her having to go to the toilet on her near his golf course. There was an American show actually that came to Scotland and did interviews with a whole bunch of people that are near where his golf course is. Oh, I can't remember the woman's name, but it was brilliant. It was just her interviewing a bunch of Scottish people who were just being unfiltered in their discussion of this golf course. Yeah. It was a promise. I'm sure it was promised 2,000 jobs, which is why he got it. And then when it came out, it was something 30.
Wow.
Yeah, it was some ridiculous change in the jobs that he was apparently providing.
And so the golf course never did well, right? Even before, he became president, it wasn't necessarily the beacon of success.
No, it's not. It's definitely not. I think it was scaled back as well. From from what they wanted to do, but I think he's wanting to build apartments there now. And he's also, I think he's super unhappy about wind turbines, offshore wind turbines being built in the water, because it would spoil the view that he had.
Yeah. So his response is to build put buildings on there so you can't see them.
I think I don't think he's been given the permission though. There was that interview he did as well where he was just oh, maybe I'll just leave America and I'll come back to Scotland. They like me over there.
Try Antarctica.
I think Mar-a-Lago. That's his saving grace. He could always go there.
No thanks, buddy.
So going back, Cash was asking about, how does... or does world politics influence your music? I mean, clearly, Mark's, he's not just the person who inspired the name for the band, but I noticed in your songs, his works are in some of the titles.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, the most obvious being Capital.
Right.
And, yeah.
Ask about that song. Like, how did you go about writing that song, and what inspired that song?
This would have been better when Terry was here, but Terry's a singer. He writes all of the lyrics. But it's just, I can't remember what was happening at the time, but it's just basically about how trickle down economics is a load of shite. Mm-hmm. It's like absolute pish is what it is. And so it's basically just, the song's essentially about that. It's probably one of the best songs on the album, to be honest. When it gets to it's sort of a lot more relaxed, and then as soon as it gets to the end, when it's just like the full stream of consciousness coming out, it's just, I'm trying to remember some of it's our only song as well that has like a swear word in it in the whole album, and it's a really quick passing word, like the word shit. But you can barely notice it, and
you should come on the show more often. We'll have you cursing in no time. There you go.
Nah. I'm trying to hold back, trying not to swear.
Oh no, you have free reign here, man. No. That's
we're not censored.
What the fuck is wrong with
you? Yeah, no, we're not censored.
If you say anything culturally specific, we'll just ask for clarification.
In your music, you try clearly not to use swear words.
Right? I think it's just something
is that
the singer
frowned
does,
down but, upon in Scotland.
Everybody swears like insane here, but it's mostly about like don't want to muddy the sort of the actual message that's in the song by stopping it from getting played places just because it has like a swear word in it.
Gotcha.
But that's why I was like, when I recently have to upload to Spotify, and you have to put if something's explicit or. And I was like googling around, like surely you can get away with like one shit without it being explicit,
like
but no,
it's
apparently
like a PG-13 movie. You know?
Yeah, like
one shit, one fuck, that's it.
Apparently, it's like there's words as well, like crap. I wouldn't consider crap to be like a swear word, but apparently that does count as a swear word in a song.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like I never would have thought that. It's content as well. So it's like if you sing anything about like drug use or anything like that, then you can sing really politely about drug use, but because it's subject matter.
Right.
Although I don't think they're at the point now where they'd just be like, here, this song says capitalism's a load of shite. We can't put this song out, but... I imagine it's like not far off. You know who actually fucking it came on to Netflix just the other week. Sorry to Bother You. Mm-hmm. Honestly, one of my favorite films. And then went and looked up Boots Riley after that, and I was just like, this guy is immense.
Yeah,
he is he's all about what the same sort of stuff that we're about. Mm-hmm. I was just like, if you've not seen that film, that film is fucking immense.
Not to spoil the ending, but how did you feel about the ending of the movie?
I mean, it's been out for a while now.
Yeah, it has been out for a while. Without saying the exact ending, I thought it was a bit abrupt. But I feel like my views on that might have been based on maybe they've not got time and budget, because you see the lead character just sort of gets knocked out, and then suddenly, and then it sort of like fades to black, and we just
kind of like a rush job, yeah.
Yeah, like it feels like they maybe just didn't have enough money or didn't have enough time. Obviously all that stuff at the end looked like it was like a pretty hefty amount of work. To film and to do all that makeup.
Yeah.
But apart from that, apart from that, I was just like, I really liked that sort of sudden jump from like reality to, or slightly fantastical reality to just like weird science fiction.
I feel like the movie, just because you brought it up as a topic, one of the songs that you guys have, the Image Desired, kind of plays into the role of that movie. And is that more of past experiences with, you know, not living up to someone's expectations, or where does that song come from?
It's that one's specifically sort of more about like social media. So like people, like in the song, there's actually, I think there's like a short narrative of someone who's essentially getting ready and like as if they were going out to somewhere fancy or something, and they would basically go through the whole process of getting ready and then take a photo and then just basically hang about in their house not doing it. It's just like that. And then you
call it doing it for the gram.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. It's basically just a criticism of that, because it's like you have the person doing that, and then you'll have other people that are like looking at that as if that's how that's what they're missing out on, but they're not missing out on anything because it's just a photo. It's like,
right.
Don't get me wrong though, I really enjoy Instagram, but I only follow people like photographers and things. So you're only.
What's your favorite IG page to follow, man?
Oh, I don't know. Probably my own band.
What's the handle?
It's the Marks underscore, or no, the underscore Marks underscore band.
You hear that, people? Go check follow that. Go check that out.
Is that your handle on all social media, Twitter as well, or just IG?
We don't use Twitter. I don't know why. I just never like. I run all the social media, and I just never really I never really used Twitter myself. So I just kind of like never created a band one. I think there is actually a band one, but there's nothing on it.
Your Facebook page is, I think, up to date, no?
Yeah, like, for some reason, it's a lot harder to sort of, like, interact on Facebook if you're from a band page and things. Like, you can't send messages or anything or talk to too many people, and you don't have a news feed like you do on Instagram for the particular band. So it's just, as far as social media goes, Instagram is like way better. Plus, I don't know if you guys have run a sort of business page or a page that's anything that, more than your personal, but it's just Facebook constantly telling you to buy ads.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, yeah. It's like, oh, boost this post.
Fuck off.
Yeah, it's like, they make it real reasonable as well. They're like, oh, for £15, boost this post. And you're like, why? Nobody gives a fuck. It's Facebook.
All right. They say it's an ongoing joke that Facebook is really for aunts and uncles and moms to keep tab on their little ones and shit like that, you know. Or I really use it for, you know, news intake because I don't watch too much TV. But when I do, it's like old shit on Netflix that I've seen like 50 times already.
You know what? I'm exactly the same. Just watch stuff on Netflix now. I've basically given up on following like even BBC. Every now and then, maybe like twice a week, I'll go on and check the sort of the news. But nah.
Quicker way to digest information, you know.
Oh, and shout out to BBC. Normally when I travel, that's one of the few channels that's in English. So I just want to give a quick shout out to them. The content, but it's something I can absorb that is in my native tongue. So appreciate them.
I think lots of countries as well just like pay a little bit of money and they can just broadcast it.
Yeah. No, that's my dad's favorite channel here in the States because he grew up in the Caribbean. So it's just a matter of, I guess that's what he watched then there. So now he's like, yeah, don't watch CNN, don't watch MSNBC. I'm like, yeah, but I still do.
We get a lot of, I don't know if you guys have these, but basically every time I go on to check the news, we have articles that are just basically like fact-checking. Like, they're almost every day now. It's just
everything's fake news now, man.
Yeah. Essentially, it'll just be like, oh, somebody said this. Here's
why it's lies.
Yeah, yeah, essentially, like the politest way of calling someone a liar.
Right. Yeah. That's what it's become, though, man. It's devolved into that. It makes me like, well, I don't want to fucking watch shit that's not real or is a lie anyway. Or are you just fact checking someone? It's like a big fucking reality show at this point, dude. Like,
that's what's happening.
No, I try to watch both the channels, just to, like both the left and the right side, just to see the different perspectives. Cause I figure they're both lying, but somewhere in the middle has to be some level of honesty between the two.
Yeah.
So, but then that gets annoying in and of itself. Just trying to, because they're not independent, they're blatantly biased. So it's pretty much just saying this guy's an asshole, this guy's our savior. That's basically what either one is saying, and that gets annoying. So I see that.
Yeah, slinging mud. So it's no fun.
Yeah, it's garbage, and it is essentially reality TV. Like they've gone to that style where it's like, oh, look at this sensationalist headline, and you click on the article. The article's boring.
Yes.
They just want your clicks. Yeah.
Yeah.
All
right. Actually, report the article to the editor. Like, don't ever do this again.
Like, do you guys follow any like real local news where you are? Because
I do.
Yeah, there's an absolute shit show on my Facebook. Looking at the comments under local news articles, it's the worst.
It's just the absolute worst. Depending on what the politic is saying, like you hear, like they're just like fighting against each other, like in the comments section and all that stuff. Depending on what demographic the person is from, whatever they did, like, it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
In a bad way.
Yeah, it's like you're cringing, but you're laughing, and you're just like, I can't believe these people, like, are around me.
You don't want to say they should be tracked and monitored, because that gets to something else, but at the same time, it's like...
Makes you lose faith in humankind, but, I mean, it sounds like the same thing goes on in your neck of the woods there, Dev. So I'm at least take solace in that it's not just us and it's the fucking world that's crazy.
Well, I have a really hard hitting question for you, Dev, and feel free to punt it if you
lightning round.
What is your take on Michael the Farmer or Farmer Michael?
I have no idea what that is.
What's his name? It's like
Sir Steve-O Timothy.
Timothy, yeah.
He's a comedian. YouTube video?
He's a comedian over there.
Michael Irish. And Kathleen.
Irish.
Farmer Michael. He does the YouTube videos in his car.
Yeah.
So. Farmer Michael.
No. Wildly misogynist.
So
I've never even heard of this guy.
Well, maybe it's because he's in Ireland. He's in Galway.
Oh, right, yeah. Like, I'm looking at him now, and he does look like a sort of like meth head, like Conor McGregor.
that's actually not too far off. I think does he love Conor, or he despises him? Like his character, I don't know.
I don't think he really. Go ahead,
Cash. I'm not sure.
He doesn't really opine on Conor.
No, he does. He has a very strong opinion. I just can't remember which way he went on.
Yeah, I can't remember if it's for or against. I do know that he hates Waterford, where his wife was from.
Yeah.
Fuck off to Waterford.
Yeah, fuck off to Waterford. That's what his I think his team Leicester. I think they won the Premiership that whatever year that was, and he was like, this is the greatest year of my life. And his wife was like, what about the day we got married? He's like, fuck that day. Fuck you. Fuck off back to your mother.
Wait, so is he a real guy or is it a character?
It's a character.
It's a character.
I'm going to have to look this up.
Yeah.
It's damn hilarious, though.
He says that Farmer Michael is a caricature of like a lot of the people from his town, I guess. So he's kind of just putting this funny spin on it and putting it out there for the world. And it's literally he got famous off of like 15 30 second clips on YouTube, and now he's like touring doing like live shows.
I'll have to actually watch something.
Yeah.
Because this is the first time hearing.
Yeah. But, it's a tough thing to do though, right? Like, you know, because it's a character, you know what I mean? So hopefully he really enjoys it. You know, just having to be like in that fucking mode all the time. I would hate to have to do that.
No, because there's
all the time.
New guy now. I think his name is Nigel. He's from Malaysia, but I think he's in London now. He does this Uncle Roger's thing, where he criticizes how people make egg fried rice. And it's very famous for him right now, but at the same time, I'm like, you can't keep talking about egg fried rice all the time. Like, after a certain point, the well's dry. There's only, and he, I think he's on his like 9th or 10th video about it. And I'm like, come on, dude.
But
I don't know though. I started watching a YouTube channel recently. It was like Ordinary Sausage. It's just some American guy making sausages out of weird stuff like Big Macs and things. And at first, I was like, "This is a stupid. Why am I watching this?" But then
5 hours later,
40 videos in, and I'm like,
"He might have something here."
Oh, he's making a candy corn sausage. I don't even know what candy corn is.
Yeah. You don't want.
He has a baked bean sausage, a chicken tender sausage, a water sausage, a egg sausage. Candy sausage.
Yeah.
You go down YouTube. I see as well the black holes of YouTube. Is this one of your more quirkier? Because I like the pimple popper videos. Those are I watch those.
Wow.
I sort of like half enjoy watching that, and then I'm like, nah, I can't be watching this.
Yeah. I think you'll enjoy the Farmer Michael stuff, Dev, because it is definitely cringeworthy. Especially when you don't. So at first I didn't know that it was a character. He was playing a character.
Yeah, it was dead serious when you first hear it, which makes it even it's like shock value.
It's knowing that now, it's like going into all the videos is just it's amazing. Right. And his wife plays such a great role as like egging him on without clearly doing it.
She's like indirectly provoking him to skew off into a tangent and go on a rant. But what's next for the band, man? What's next for the Marks, dude?
Well, I pretty much spent most of this lockdown just writing music. So I think we're almost finished the second album as well. So
that's what I was going to say. It sounds like you have enough material to put out another album.
Yeah, because these songs, we've been sitting on them for a while and we've just got the album out now. We already have like a second album on the go. So it's, I think we're maybe about 9 songs sorted. 9 songs that I would record as they are and then have them. But just sort of like a few more, chuck them on. I mean, all our songs are pretty short anyway, so it's like.
Yeah. Have things opened up due to COVID enough that you are now able to go into the studio as you wish, or is it?
Yeah, there's limited. In Scotland, there's like a sort of for arts and things, there's like a sort of slightly more open rules for, so like you can go to practice spaces or you can go to like theaters and stuff and perform with other people, and it's based around a sort of more professional sort of point, but just basically going into them. Still no gigs or anything like that, and we can't even have music in pubs just now. So like there would be like a pub that's
you
open certain.
You can't play music in the bars there, in the pubs there.
Yeah, no.
Oh shit.
It's man. Yeah, it's like so. There's not even a wee CD player. Nobody like playing music through their phone. Nothing. You're not even allowed to sing.
No. Fuck. It sounds like the rules there, you know, to kind of contain the pandemic is pretty harsh. I mean, rightfully so. You know, you want to get rid of this shit as quickly as you can. But is that the case? Like, they're limited to 2 people. You can't breathe in the same directions, the same as another person and shit. Something like that.
They have like for a lot of places to open, because after the first lockdown, before we went back into this again, which is like different tiers. But where I am, the pubs are still closed. Well, they're allowed to stay open and serve food during the day. But then they have to close again. But if you go in, there's like loads of like perspex things between the tables and things.
Partitions and stuff.
Okay. Yeah, you have to like wear your mask, sit down, and then you can take your mask off when you start eating. Right. But it's really complicated over here because depending on where you are.
Are abiding by these rules, or are there like unofficial like speakeasies and stuff where you can go? And...
No, there's essentially like no speakeasies, sadly. I think people would notice straight away if we went in. It was like, ah, fuck it, we're just not going to follow the rules. Let's put on a gig. And it's like a perfectly quiet town at night, and there's just one pub blasting live music.
Yeah, because I saw this thing. I want to say it was on Vice. It was in London. It wasn't in Scotland, where I guess they're having like secret underground raves in like abandoned tunnels.
That's definitely been on the go.
It's a lot of wild shit going on everywhere. Here in the States, they're having like underground orgies and shit. all types of craziness. And I think it was like it turned into like a super spreader, like a sort of venue or whatever, sort of set up. And like a bunch of people caught Corona.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's like
this shit isn't going anywhere, man. Has the case count like resurged there in Scotland?
I think it's been since the opening up again. It's been essentially. Well, it rose, and then now it's at just like a kind of flat line level where it's not good, but it's better than
not
it was.
Bad, not awful.
Yeah.
Hi guys.
You're listening to
the High Life Show
on Shady Pines Radio.
On Shady Pines Radio.
Thursdays from 8 to 10 a.m.
8 to 10 a.m.
Hosted by the High End Low Lives.
The High End Low Lives.
And my daddy.
Peace, homie out.
High Life Morning Show. I mean, I know those people that are just like working from home and now just love it.
Yeah.
I've just been getting paid every week for the almost entirely of this year without working.
Shout out to Scotland, know how to treat their citizens. No, I saw a post like that. I think every other, event, like France, Germany, Scotland, Canada, they're actually paying their people during this time. And America is like, you're tough. You'll figure it out.
I'm on like 80%. So it's like, so just 80% for not having to go to work is sort of like.
It's amazing.
Great. Yeah.
It's great.
You don't need the money so much because you're not going out. Where are we going to go? Everything's closed.
Yep.
But it is pretty mad, like getting that pay from.
Yeah.
But with the Tories still in power, they're already basically planning to take this money back, essentially.
Like a loan or just the cut off future?
No. They'll just not spend on anything. They'll close every single library.
Oh, wow.
It'll be like, that'll be their excuse. They'll close every library and they'll be like, oh, we can't afford to loan you books anymore. We're paying furlough for a year. That's it. No more reading.
Yeah.
No more subsidized sports centers.
Literacy is overrated. So I
You don't need libraries anymore. You just download books.
So I guess getting back to the music, I guess when things do open back up, I guess, is there any particular band that I guess you would want to open for, any venue that you would love to play at, I guess, when things start to come back?
See, I've always been like, I still like small gigs.
Okay.
So like, I can't stand going to like a big, like, massive venues. I like to be within. I like the band to be able to spit on me, you know what I mean? I like them to be in that distance where they can still, if they spat off the stage, it could hit me in the face. Like,
gotta do that with a face shield now, but, I feel you.
Oh, yeah, just get everyone in the audience face shields.
Yeah.
There you go.
I have a question, too. Where did the idea to, and is this... At all the times where you guys wear a suit to your performances, is that like your uniform, or is it just sometimes you do it?
Well, no, we wear it every time we play gigs now. We just have to pick some sort of. We all look really wildly different. Like if you see us at like an actual band practice, it's just like one guy's wearing like jogging bottoms, another guy, well, sorry, guitarist kind of dresses like Tom Morello. He's just wearing a little hat and t-shirt and jeans. But yeah, we looked so different on stage that it was just kind of like, right, we're going to have to match up our clothes. So we're like, we'll go the suits, do it. And it was good enough for the Temptations. It's good enough for us.
Nice touch there.
Yeah, and it definitely stands out, I think, in the genre of music that you guys perform.
Yeah, like, yeah, we get that. There's definitely maybe a slight disconnect between the when we first walk on stage and then when they start actually hearing our songs. We all, right. We play like we play our live sets like a DJ set, so like there's no breaks, so we play just straight for like 40 minutes, like no gaps between the songs or anything. So it's like sweaty wearing those suits.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
It's a nice little workout.
But we had played a gig in Glasgow to an audience that never had no idea who we were. And we also went up on the stage and we're getting like sort of odd looks. But then when we kick into playing, obviously the suits part just starts sounding, well, looking weird compared to ours.
Well, I do want to ask actually, so it's somewhat related to what Cash asked in terms of, you know, what are your aspirations after the pandemic, but are there specific plans that you guys have in place that basically the pandemic is the only thing that's holding you back from doing that, so once the lockdowns are over you're able to just start doing certain things?
Yeah, well, as a band, This year we were originally meant to play in a completely new town or city around Scotland. It was aimed for at least one gig a month. Obviously, like we all four of us work full time as well, so we were going to be trying to do at least one gig a month in as many small places around Scotland as possible. But obviously, that got completely chucked out. So I'm hoping next year we can get just rent a van and play some real small places. Go around and just play in their like church hall, whatever they've got.
Right.
Play some like, you know, to play places where bands don't usually go, and just like maybe like go and take a bit of space in their local pub.
Okay. So kind of bringing the suit, you know, mentality to the venue. Yeah.
I feel like that opens it up a little bit as well. If say like older people see us and they see us in a suit and they're like, oh yeah, we'll book this band, and then we come in and we're just like nothing but politics. There's a lot of like we play a lot of punk scenes. I don't know if you've ever seen like you seen the film Green Room. It's definitely worth watching. It's sort of like a sort of horror film where this punk band goes and gets booked for a gig, and it turns out that it's all a bunch of skinheads.
Oh god.
Yeah, and it's just like there's punk gigs like that here, where it's like you'll get them go up and you'll be on the same set list as the same lineup as some old guy band. And they'll go up and they'll be like, oh, sick of all these young bands talking about politics and stuff. And then we'll go up after them. Obviously blow them out of the water because their bands are shite. But
and then hit some political chords.
Yeah, like, literally nothing but politics from us. So they're like, just
got them swinging at the air and shit. These young leftists. Fuck them. All right, man, I think that's it, man. Take care. Be pop. Be great. Be pop. Be blessed. We're out.
Peace. That's pretty much.
That's all we need.
That was
solid.
Bam.
All right, Dev.
Definitely. We want to thank you for joining,
thank
man.
You. Appreciate it,
taking the time out to talk with us. We appreciated the conversation. You know, your music is dope, and yeah, man. Don't forget us when you're like when you're touring around the world. You know what I mean?
Are you interested in past lives, astrology, meditation, divination, crystals, and all things witchy, spiritual, and new age? Then please tune in to Shady Pines Radio on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for Celestial Sundays with me, Moonlit Brit. 2 hours of dope tunes and cosmic talk. Make sure to download the Shady Pines app for easier access, or you can tune in at www.shadypinesradio.com.
It's everything and nothing on Shady Pines Radio.
Run with it, buddy.
We do the show every week. We just record it.
But I was like, God damn it, Chris Cox made me drop the soap.
Every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Shady Pines Radio.
Fuck it, have the UFO videos. It's the soft apocalypse. We don't give a shit.
Can we use that clip?
Yeah, do sure.
Do you mind?
Keith. Like Chris Cox made me drop the soap. Go yeah. ahead, dude. Go ahead. I don't care.
Listen right here or wherever you get your podcasts.